119th Psalm, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. When I began pastoring nearly 30 years ago, I sat down with my pastor in an effort to glean some wisdom for the task ahead. And I asked him for some advice as I embarked upon my ministry. And I shall never forget one of the things that he told me. He said, get your people to love the Word of God. If they love the Word, you will not have any trouble. And so it has been my desire to accomplish that in my church. And without question, I believe the same truth will apply to this church. Therefore, if I can encourage you to love the Word of God, then I shall succeed in this message and you shall discover life in your soul. What a difference the Word of God makes. But of course, of the many ways in which the Word of God may be applied and whose effect is always a closer walk with Jesus Christ, I have chosen to narrow the subject. Having addressed the need for personal holiness last night, well, tonight I take one more step. And I wish to speak to you about the Word of God and its relationship to holiness. And so they really go hand in hand. And so I want to speak to you from our text tonight, the message I've entitled, The Word of God and Holiness. And so if you were here last night and you heard the message and you say, yeah, I'd really like to be more holy in my life, but how do I do that? Well, this will help you, I believe, on that pathway. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for this church, and I pray that you would lay your hand upon her and bless her in this area and around the world as they give to missions. And we ask that you would just meet their every need and grant them growth and grant them much success and use them in their labors for you. Thank you for this time to be with them this week, and I ask that you would bless everything that's said and everything that's done, that it would be for your honor and glory. Thank you for those who have sung praise unto you. And we honor you through that, and Lord, it just warms our heart. And now we ask that you would bless your word as it goes forth, and we ask you speak to everyone here tonight. If there's any here that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant repentance and faith, that today would be the day of their salvation. And may we who are saved, Lord, may we understand your word, and Lord, may it be applied to our heart that we might recognize that the word of God is essential if we're going to be a holy people. So I pray that your will would be done. Forgive me where I fall short, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in Psalm 119, and we want to think about the Word of God and holiness. The first thing I would like to do is give an overview of this passage. And what I'm going to cover in just brief commentary is verse 9 down through verse 16. And you'll see that the book of Psalms in the 119th Psalm is broken up into sections, and they all correspond with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're just going to cover this section, which is the second section, verse 9 down through verse 16, just give an overview. So first of all, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so the psalmist, and you understand this entire psalm speaks about the Word of God and its application, but he talks about here the need to cleanse our way. And by the way, though he says that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, I certainly believe it applies to any and to all. So you ladies can't say, oh, well, it talks about a young man and it really doesn't apply to me, or I'm older than a young man, or I'm an elder person, and so this doesn't apply. No, this applies to everyone. Everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, wherewithal shall you cleanse your way? Well, it's done by living according to the Word. It's what it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy Word. Look back into verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You want to cleanse your way? Then just walk in the laws of God. Amen. Be obedient to Him. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Notice that he says that he sought God with all of his heart, his whole heart, back to verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. So he repeats that in our passage of verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. One of the problems over our modern day Christianity, and one of the problems I have on occasion, that you have on occasion, is we just don't seek Him with all of our heart. We get distracted with the things of the world and with ourselves. And so we come up short. He says He wants to seek God with all of His heart. And we read in the last part of that verse that He cries to God for grace that He would not wander. And we really do need God's grace so that we would not go astray. Verse 21, He says a little bit later on, Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. We make a mistake when we go away from God, when we disobey His commands. And so the psalmist says, I want to keep His commands. I do not want to wander from them. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Verse 12, Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. He blesses God, gives praise to Him because these are His statutes. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's not mine. It's not some concoction of these guys down through the ages. This is the very Word of God. We have God's revelation to man. I'm so thankful we have God's preserved Word. And what we know of God is from His book. And so these are His statutes. It's His Word. And so He says, Lord, blessed art Thou because You have these statutes. And He says, teach me those statutes. I do pray that that would be in our hearts, that God, You would teach us. All that we might learn, that we might grow, that we might be taught, so that we would know His Word and respond. That's what He's saying all the way through this passage. But look into verse 13, then, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. Not only did he seek God, and not only did he hide His Word in his heart, and then he blesses God, but he desires to tell others about the Word of God. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared. And so it just wasn't all about him. He would share these judgments with others so that others would know. That's important, isn't it? Amen. And we do need to keep the Word of God not only in our heart, but we need to share it with others so that they would know how to respond as well. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Rejoices in the Word of God. Do you rejoice in God's Word? I'm glad that you're here tonight. Tuesday night, that's a good time. It's tough to come out, but you're here. I think it's because you rejoice in the Word of God. Glad you're here. Amen. Truth is, sometimes, though, we don't always rejoice in it. We don't always do what we ought to do. And sometimes we just flat reject the Word of God. I mean, God will speak to our hearts. We'll go, I'm not going to pay attention to that right now. That's an error. He says in the text that he rejoices in these things and as much as in all riches. What's important to you? What is your priority? Let me share with you one of the commentators. He said this, and I quote, as much as in all riches or as above all riches. The joy that believers have in the ways of God is superior to that which any natural or worldly man has in his substance of every sort, or be it ever so great. Yea, they find such riches in the ways of God and are vastly preferable to the riches of this world. They find Christ, the pearl of great price, and His unsearchable riches, the riches of the grace and the riches of glory, and even the Word of God itself. Those testimonies of His are more desirable than the thousands of gold and silver, and give a greater pleasure than the increase of corn and wine. End of quote. Do you enjoy your paycheck from work more than you enjoy the Word of God? We need money to live. I understand that. But you know what? The Word of God is important. Amen. And the psalmist says, it's so important to me. I love His statutes. It's more than all the riches of the world. And what a reminder that is to us. Now, verse 15. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Now, before we look into and just mention a few of these things that we see in verse 15 and in verse 16, if you'll notice back into the passage of which we've already read, there are four things that He said that He has done. He said in verse 10, have I sought. In verse 11, have I hid. In verse 13, have I declared. In verse 14, I have rejoiced. Those are four things that He says that He has done. But then in verse 15 and verse 16, we find three I wills. Things that he has done. But then he says, it's not enough. I will meditate, verse 15. Yeah. I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Even though he is seasoned, although he be accomplished. I have done these things. He said, I will. I will. I will. And I pray, my friend, tonight, that no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how much you've read the Word and studied the Word of God and taken it into your heart, and you say, well, I've done this and I've done that. Keep in mind, I will. I will. I will. The Word of God will make a difference in your life, and it certainly makes a difference in the area of holiness. So let's back up to verse 11, which is our text. I have 4 points I want to bring out to you out of verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The first thing I would mention about verse 11 is the instrument. He says, thy word. We know what he's talking about. We don't have to guess. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to wonder, oh, really, what is he concerned with? It's very clear, those first two words. Thy word. The word of God, my friend, is God's instrument. What does it say over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12? But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God will use it to pierce even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow of the hearts. God will use His Word to pick apart our heart better than any surgeon can with a knife and get right to our soul and speak to us and make a difference. And sinner, that's what God will use to reveal your sin to your heart and your need of Jesus Christ and the grace of God that you might be saved. God will use the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, as it talks about there, about the armor of God. In verse 17, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you carrying a sword tonight? Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I submit unto you, the psalmist is talking about the instrument of God. And he says it is the Word of God. Thy Word is God's instrument. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where I've invited you to turn, there's a very familiar text here. And this book is different than any other book in the world. This book is given by inspiration of God. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All for the purpose that we might be thoroughly furnished into all good works. Four things in verse 16 he says the Word of God is profitable for. At least this is the way Paul summarizes it to Timothy. It is good for doctrine. Very simply, it is good for teaching or communicating instruction. Amen. Good for doctrine. There was a time in my life as a young Christian that that word scared me. And I found that through the ministry, sometimes people were scared of that word doctrine. And that's a doctrinal church. Ooh, like it's a bad thing. Right. And I found out that the word doctrine is a good thing. Amen. And I want to be doctrinal, and I want my church to be doctrinal, and I don't want us to be so doctrinal that we're dead, but we need to be doctrinal. Amen. And the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. Secondly, for reproof, and that means a convincing. It's a convincing of man of sin and of the truths and the claims of religion. Reproof, the Word of God will reprove us. It will convince us where we're wrong. Thirdly, it talks about that the Word of God is profitable for correction. Leading to correction or to amendment of life, a reformation. And I judge, if you've been saved any length of time at all, you've seen your life change, that you've seen yourself grow and mature through the grace of God and in Jesus Christ, and you've become more sanctified and you've become more holy, and you're not everything you ought to be, but you're not what you used to be. And it's because God is working the Word of God in your heart to make correction. There are things that I don't do anymore because the Word of God said, this is how you ought to do, this is how you ought not to do, and all that kind of thing. And we plug that into our life, and our life has changed. The Word of God is profitable for that. And so it's a word that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. Instruction in regard to what is right. You want to know what to do? Look into the Word of God. Nothing wrong with counselors, and nothing wrong with some of the books, and nothing wrong with getting advice from people. But I'll tell you, your main source for counsel ought to be right here.
Amen.
And all the counsel you'll get, you better judge it according to the book. And so it's good for instruction. I just think about this and for just a few moments as we elaborate. I mean, the Word of God, what does it do? Doesn't it guard us from sin? Think for a moment back to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the devil came to Him in the wilderness and tempted Him. And what did Jesus say? It is written again. It is written again. It is written again. Well, what we find in that, if you're not familiar with it, the devil would come and say, well, the Bible says this. And he was taking it out of context, misapplying it, trying to trick him. And you've got to be very careful. There are many in our society that does that very thing. And on TV, you better be very, very careful. And they say, well, it's written. And Jesus says, ah, but it's written again. Devil, you've taken it out of context. You've misapplied it. So you want me to bow down to you? Ah, but it's written again.
Amen.
It's written again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God only. And Him you only serve. What? I'm hungry? Turn these stones into bread. The angels will take care of me. Ah, my friend, it's written again. The Word of God will guard us from sin. If you're aware of it.
Amen.
If you know it. It will help you. It'll protect you. It'll also teach truth. You're there in 2 Timothy, right? Go back a page to chapter 2 and verse 15, a very familiar passage. You perhaps have this memorized. The Word of God teaches truth. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm glad that we can know truth. Where am I going to find it? From the Word of God. I believe what I believe because that's what I read in the Scripture. That's what I understand. That's what God has revealed to my heart. The Word of God teaches truth. You back up to verse 2 of that same passage. What did Paul tell Timothy? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What's the point? The Word of God teaches truth. And what you've learned, you share with others. And so you have a faithful pastor and the teachers of this church that teach you the truth of the Word of God. We ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
Not everybody has it.
Amen.
Every now and then I run into somebody and they go, you know what? I went to this church and visited over here. They don't teach anything. And you can't learn anything. And you can't find a church here. And you can't find a church here. And, you know, good churches that teach the Bible, conservative churches, are not always all everywhere to be found.
That's right.
You better be glad and thankful to God that you have one right here that you can attend. Oh, the Word of God guards us from sin. It teaches us truth. And, you know, the Word of God comforts us. I don't know about you, but it sure does me.
Amen.
I remember many years ago, and this was way back in 1978, one of the students who went to school with us was killed in a car wreck. I attended Clarksville Baptist College, and she was killed in a car wreck in the summer of 1978. That was the first time in my life that I really was exposed to death where I was old enough to understand it and recognize it. And I'll tell you, it hit me hard because it was new to me, new experience. One of the first things that came to my mind when they called and said that this person was killed in a car wreck was Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. My, what a comfort. I might be heartbroken, but you know what? God knows. God cares. It's precious that He took that girl. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And the Word of God will comfort you if you'll allow it. If you'll know it. I trust you know one of the greatest promises of Scripture, Romans 8:28. That's a great comfort, isn't it? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. The Word of God will comfort your heart. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I said I would elaborate for a few moments. I'll get back to the text. Romans chapter 15. I'm emphasizing to you that the Word of God is the instrument of God.
Amen.
And He works it into our lives. And I believe that we can learn from the Word of God. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning and for our admonition, or that for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope for our learning." Would you take time to learn the Word of God? The Word of God gives us promises. It directs our path. Psalm 119, 105 says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Tells of salvation. Where would you be if you didn't know the Word of God about how you were a sinner?
Amen.
And how you were condemned.
Amen.
And how there was a Savior. You wouldn't have gotten all that from the general revelation. You'd have known there was a God. You'd have known there was a need. But you can't see the Savior in the creation. You have to have special revelation. You have to have the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm so glad God's Word can teach us so many things.
Amen.
And it keeps on teaching. It's kind of like a map. We went up to Russellville today, and I hadn't been to Russellville in probably 30 years. And my wife, she's from this area for a little bit, and she hadn't been there for a long, long time. And we wanted to go to the post office up there. So we asked Brother Jim for directions to the post office. And so they gave us directions up there. But the funny thing is about directions is they have to be correct. But they were. He gave us exactly where to go. Go in the second stoplight, turn left, go down there, turn right, and then it's right there on the right-hand side. And you know what? We found the post office. And we got back here safe and sound, just according to the directions which they gave. But you know, sometimes maps are not always correct. I've heard, I don't use the GPS, but I've heard those GPS's thing can be wrong. They'll say, "Turn here," you know, and they're driving off into a ditch or whatever, you know. And they turn left, turn right, and you know, those GPS things can be wrong. So you got to be careful. I'm glad that the Word of God is never wrong. But you know, the truth is, you can have a map, or you can have excellent directions, but not follow it.
Yeah.
I remember years ago when I was in Clarksville, we were going to go to a youth activity at this person's house, and I thought in my mind that I knew where it was. And so this girl was trying to tell me how to get to that house. And I said, "Oh, that's not how you go." And she said, "Oh, yes, it is." And I said, "No, it isn't." She said, "Listen, I know how to get to that house." And I said, "Well, you're wrong. You can't get there that way." And she said, "No, you're wrong." And we argued a little bit. And she was telling me that my directions were wrong. I was telling her directions were wrong. And you know what? She was right. I was wrong. I wandered all over South Clarksville trying to find that place. And finally I had to call up and said, "Where do you guys live?" And just, you know what? She was trying to give me directions, but I wasn't willing to follow it. Sad it is, in our society there are Christians who have the directions right before them, and they're just not willing to follow it.
Amen.
And they just don't want to hear it. "No, I know how to get there." And what a mistake that is. The Word of God is an instrument, and God uses His Word as a tool. One other reference, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." Go back to our text, the 119th Psalm, verse 11. The first thing we find in the verse is the instrument, thy Word. Second thing we find is the intent. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart." Now, tongue in cheek, many people hide the Word of God. They throw it in a drawer. They put it under other books. They don't want anybody to know that they have it. They conceal it. They hide it. That's not what the psalmist means. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart." The word in the Hebrew means to set the affection upon. So when he says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, I have set my affection upon it." Again, listen to one of the commentators. And I quote, "One is said to hide the Word in one's heart when one has it continually present with him, not merely as an outward precept, but as an inward motive of power in opposition to selfish action." That's, end of quote, that's the set affection upon. The Word of God. You know what that is? Let me give you an example. And hopefully this will make enough sense for you of setting your affection on something. You just respond. going down the road at night. Let's say you're heading off, you're going down 79, you're heading to Clarksville. You get down that stoplight. It's 2 in the morning. Light changes red. What do you do? Speed up. I'm getting home as quick as I can. You don't do that, do you? You know what you do? Well, I would assume that light changes red. Take your foot off the gas. You put it on the brake. You slow down. You stop. There's nobody around. No cameras. No police. Nothing. But you've been trained to set your affection upon traffic laws, generally speaking. So, in the middle of the night, you come up to a stop sign, you stop. Come to a stoplight, you stop. And it's red. What's green? You go. The traffic laws. You know why you do that? Well, by definition, you set your affection upon it. You said, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to obey that.
Amen.
And that's all the psalmist is saying about the laws and the commands of God. To set your affection upon the Word of God so that when nobody is looking, when there are no cameras, when there's nobody that can see except God in heaven, you still are willing to keep it because it's right. That's the thing. And let me say unto you, when he says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, this is not some mystical thing. It's not, well, as long as I hide the word and just be able to memorize it, that it's going to take effect. My friend, if you can memorize the word of God, but if you don't let it apply to you when you hear it, if the word of God comes back to your mind because you have memorized it, you go, oh, that's okay, I'm not going to obey that right now. It's not going to help you any.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, it's going to condemn you further because you've been just reminded once again. But do memorize the Word of God. Let it speak to your heart. Let it guide you. Let it protect you. But it's not some mystical thing. It's not like, oh, well, it's a luck charm. And I can ward off the vampires with this cross or garlic, you know. So I have a Bible and that'll take care of it. That's not it at all. Hide it in your heart. Set your affection upon it. And may I submit unto you before we look at the next thing, to hide it demands three things. One, it demands awareness. Secondly, it demands understanding. Third, it demands a desire to obey. If you're going to hide the Word of God in your heart, first of all, you have to be aware of it. You have to know what it says. Secondly, you have to understand it. Not just hear it, not just be made aware, but you have to comprehend to know what it means. And then you have to desire to obey it. This is what God has said. Yes, I comprehend it. I want to do that.
Amen.
So that is the intent. Back in the text. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So what's the third point? The interior. The interior. Where did he hide it? In mine heart. You know why? Because your heart is the center of your being. It directly relates to your actions. What you are in your heart is what comes out. And he says, I want to hide the Word of God in my heart so I would not sin against God. Why your heart? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew chapter 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, verse 20 talks about how that proceeding out of the heart is fornications and adulteries and all kinds of sin kind of thing there. I'm not quoting the text. I'm just making a reference toward it. But turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The psalmist says, Thy word have I hid where? In my heart. Remember, the title of the message is The Word of God and Holiness. Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar verse, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because it's in the heart. What you feed in is what you're going to get out.
Amen.
Heard a story, in fact, I read it many, many years ago, about a man who was riding a transit bus in a major city. Got on the bus, he rode the bus all the time, but one day when he was heading home from work, got on a bus and something caught the corner of his eye. And he looked down on the seat beside him was a pornographic magazine. And so the guy saw what it was, glanced at it, looked away, but it kept bothering him. It kept drawing his attention. And right before he got off the bus, he snatched over, reached that, threw it into his briefcase, and carried that pornographic magazine off the bus with him. Well, he got interested in it, and he began to buy the magazines, began to subscribe to them, and it got worse, and he got worse. And eventually, it ruined his life. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his job. He lost everything. You know where it began? It began on the bus.
Right.
When he had the temptation, and he succumbed to it, and he allowed that to speak to his heart.
Yep.
And then he began to feed it, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse.
Amen.
What you put in is what you're going to get out.
Amen.
You have to guard your heart. And so the psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Dear Christian, you want to be holy before God? You want to apply practical holiness, personal holiness? You have to hide the Word of God in your heart. Not just quote it, not be able to memorize it, but set your affection upon it. Last thing into the text, verse 11. Not just the interior, but finally the impact. Why does he do these things? "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Notice this is an intentional activity. It's not something that has happened, but he intentionally did that. I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart so I won't sin against you. He made a definite choice. God, I want to be pure. I want to follow after you. So I'm going to take the word of God and what you commanded me and put it in my heart, set my affection upon it, so that in the middle of the night when nobody's looking, I will be driving and stopping at that red light. That kind of a thing. But look back into verse 9. Remember we began in this passage? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." So he makes it very clear. You want to be holy. You have to know what the word of God is and then be willing to apply it to your life by taking heed to it. Someone said it's the best thing in the best place for the best reason. And I think that's true. The word of God in the heart. Turn over to verse 101. 101, Psalm 119. He says later on in this psalm, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." Intentional. I won't do it because I want to be obedient. Verse 112. "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." Back up at the beginning of the chapter. So what we find is, if you want to hide the Word of God in your heart, you set your affection upon it, is a deliberate avoidance of sin and temptation.
Amen.
You have to choose. And when it's made aware, and I realize the devil's very sneaky, and we can be entrapped in sin and temptation and all that, but when it even comes on the radar screen, I mean, just the blip out there, then have enough sense to go, "Oh, that's on the screen. This is the wrong way. This is the wrong thought pattern. This is the wrong thing to watch. This is the wrong thing to listen to." As soon as it appears on the radar screen, back up.
Amen.
Back up.
Amen.
It's a deliberate choice. And why should we desire that? Why should we desire to make that choice? I've asked you to back up. Verse 4 and verse 5 should be our cry. Same chapter, verse 4. "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. God, this is what you commanded. Oh, that it would happen. Let me share with you one more quote, and then I'll draw a very brief conclusion. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, not only heard it and read it, but received it into his affections, mixed it with faith, laid it up in his mind and memory for future use, preserved it in his heart as a choice treasure where it might dwell richly and be a service to him on many occasions, and particularly on the following use, that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God is the most powerful antidote against sin when it has a place in the heart. Not only the precepts of it forbid sin, but the promises of it influence and engage in purity of heart and life, and to the perfecting of holiness in the fear of the Lord. And all the doctrines of grace in it effectually teach the saints to deny all sin and worldly lust and to live a holy life and conversation. End of quote. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So in closing, I would exhort every one of us who know Christ, I would exhort the believer to recognize the Bible as the Word of God. Realize this is God's will toward man. This is God's will for us. And then set your affection upon it. Set your affection upon it. Learn it, love it, and live it. And what a difference it will make in your life. It really will. Purposely pursue it. That's what the psalmist said he did. I did this so I would not sin against you. Ah, that we might have that. And let me say unto you, if you're here and you're lost, I want to give you a brief exhortation. You know, God has revealed the truth to you as well. You have the Word of God. You hear the things, and you may be talking to this pastor or someone else about your need and the what's going on in your life. And you might be investigating the claims of Christ and of the church and all those kind of things. You know what answers you're going to find? You're going to find them from the Word of God. This book will reveal things to you that you need to know. It will tell you about your sin. It will tell you about your shame. It will tell you about coming separation, that you're separated from God and you're going to live forever in hell. If you're not saved by God's grace, you can learn those things, sinner. You better look into the book. And every person I've ever witnessed to and they wanted to know about God, I'd direct them to the Bible.
Amen.
Read the book. Begin in John. Read John a bunch of times. It'll help you, make a difference for you. See what God has to say. But not only does it tell you about all those negative things, it'll tell you about the good things, the positive things, about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It'll tell you about the salvation that sinners can have by grace through faith in the provision of Christ. It tells us about Jesus. I can learn about the Savior. Where? From the Word of God. So, sinner friend tonight, you say, well, I don't need that, and I don't care about that kind of thing. You better get into the book. Because you will give an account to a holy God one of these days. I close by sharing these two verses with you. Two references. John chapter 11, verse 25. As Jesus spoke to Martha, He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that's a challenge to every one of you that are outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Word of God tells you you can have eternal life. Do you believe it? Would you believe it? Would you respond? And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gives of His Son. This is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Sinner, you don't have the Son. You don't have life.
Right.
But the Word of God says you can have life.
Amen.
Because you can have the Son. But you have to believe the record that God has given of His Son. So not only will the Word of God perfect holiness in those of us who are saved. You know what the Word of God will do? God will use it as an instrument to save the sinner, to bring them to a place of righteousness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then they can embark on a journey of holiness by applying the Word of God in their heart so that they would not sin against God. Sinner, we point you to Jesus. Saved. You think about personal, practical holiness. I trust you've understood the importance of the Word of God in achieving personal holiness. That's the purpose. That's the objective of the message tonight. And I pray God would apply it to your heart. Brother Jensen.
Amen.